Wait for me. This is the Grassy Knoll. We're working on hours 3 and 4 on a very long night and a very good night, and we're very happy for all the guests that we have had on. But the best is yet to come, and with us from South Africa is Michael D. Hop, and among his other websites, and I'm going to have him tell you all about them, but the one that intrigued me was the one that was entitled ThreeWorldWars.com, and he was good enough to call in. And Michael, thank you very much for visiting the Grassy Knoll.
Thanks very much for the introduction. It's good to talk to you, and I think it's going to be an interesting hour.
Hour? 2 hours? You asked for
it. Fantastic. There's much to discuss, and time is up in the global scheme of things, so let's get going.
All right, no doubt. Go ahead, brother. Kick it.
What I would like to do is give a little bit of a background to the site Three World Wars that you've mentioned, explain a little bit about how it came about. Then talk about mindset, how people are thinking currently. I get a lot of feedback from people in response to emails and newsletters that I send out, and I can certainly see a trend in the way people are thinking about current events.
All right, fair enough.
Then we can move on a little bit to a methodology for survival. Times are obviously becoming more and more interesting, and I think if we have a look at a specific a plan of action, we can talk a little bit about that. Does that suit you?
No problem. And I'll say this, and let me throw out the 800 numbers now, as we will do periodically. And that is, and as you know, they're 800. All the prefixes are 491. All you got to do is punch up 9126, 9135, 9146. And I would assume that you folks, if you want to call in, will listen enough to finally form some kind of intelligent questions or comments, and you will do that. But let me throw that out for you. It's fair game. We're going to be here for at least 1 hour, perhaps two, with Michael, who's from South Africa. Michael, I got to tell you, though, first of all, you really intrigued me, because when I looked on, and you were a guest suggest from somebody who has been very much in touch with your website, okay? And that's fine with me. The thing is, if you leave me to my own devices, Michael, you know, I'll have the same guess, or I'll go down the same road. And I've asked people many times, if you got somebody you would like to hear about, please tell me. And you're one of them. That doesn't mean that you're secondary, because I didn't know about it. I mean, who am I? The thing is that it's great to know that they're out there. They want to hear about this. They want this in another venue. And I think that's great. So, therefore, I'm more than happy to have you on. But you seem to be a pretty good historian. And you seem to be a young individual. How in the world did you hit upon all this?
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much for the kind words. It's good to... I've heard of your show before and keep meaning to contact you, but haven't got round to it, so I'm very pleased that we did the hook up. How did I come onto the information? I have absolutely no idea. It's been an interest of mine for many, many years. I think from when I was a young boy, I started questioning, and most people got irritated with me when I asked too many questions. So I went searching, used the internet, and tried to frame a bigger picture. What I didn't like about most conspiracy theory sites is they got so involved in the detail of individual events that I couldn't understand how each event fitted into a greater picture. And I eventually came across a book called The Unseen Hand, which is an introduction to conspiratorial history. And finally, all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle snapped into place after reading that. And that's how the site came about. What I wanted to do is try and look at major events throughout history and see if there is a pattern, and there certainly is. You've put up a very interesting site on your page showing how, in the lead-up to 9/11, Hollywood producers gave little clues that something was coming. And that confirms the fact that major events in history happen by design. The difference between conspiratorial history and accidental history is simply this. Accidental history can give no reason for an event that takes place. It's the typical view of history that we taught right from our early school days. And accidental history is fine for example, natural disasters. If a hurricane comes along, let's put aside for the fact now that there's talk about man-made weather manipulation. But if we see it purely as an act of God, then that can be termed accidental history. Something just happened and nobody could see it coming. Conspiratorial history, though, implies that events are engineered to happen. World War I and World War II are two very specific examples of that. and so is the planned World War III, and that's how three world wars came about. I refer originally to a letter supposedly written by Albert Pike in 1867, I think it is, that refers to three world wars. Now, I must state up front that there's no evidence of that letter existing anywhere, but it is quoted all over the internet in many written books. So even though I haven't found the letter itself, there is certainly reference to it. And if you look at the way the three world wars were described and the way it's turning out now, there appears to be some relevance in the supposed letter.
Michael, let me say this. I understand that was the Pike-Mazzini letter, right? As far as
correct.
You know. All right. Now, what happened was I had on our show an individual by the name of William Still, who did a documentary. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am.
The Money Masters.
But that's right.
Okay, well, I asked him point blank, did that letter exist? And he said, yes, it did. And he said it was on display. I believe he said it was on display in London. And has been since yanked and never seen again. How do you feel about that assessment, about the possible appearance and, of course, the disappearance of that very, very, if it does exist, seminal letter?
I have been to the British Museum in London myself and spoken to their chief curator, who insisted that it has never, ever existed.
Okay.
And he told me that many, many people have asked for it before. Now, yes, it's quite possible that it was there and yanked.
Mm-hmm.
In 1925, I forget the title of the book, but a well-known, respected historian referred to this letter and said that he had personally seen it in the British Museum.
Okay.
So either way, there is some controversy around it. Whether it existed or not, I think the facts stand for themselves that World War III is rapidly approaching, and it forms part of a planned three world wars. So there's controversy around the letter, no question about it. But as it stands today, it is not currently in the British Museum. I've been there myself personally to go and find out.
And Michael, again, when did you finally get it? I mean, to me, I have to tell you, I heard things when I was, I mean, I'm 54, okay? And, you know, I heard things from my OSS uncle, who said things when he got a couple of under his belt, you know, come Christmas time. And I'm like, well, I'm not paying attention to that. And, okay. And then I heard things, you know, with Vietnam vets, and it goes on and on and on. And then, you know, you can't dismiss everything when you hear so many things from so many different factions who don't know one another. And so then I finally said, you know, I've got to find out whether or not we are truly living in a matrix. I got my answer. But how about for yourself, Michael? I mean, you grew up, you know, you probably had a decent childhood, you know, as we would say in the United States, leave it to Beaver, you know, it was nice, you know. What roiled you to make you look down that rabbit hole?
Very good question, and I'm not sure if there's an answer to that. Curiosity, certainly, and the deeper one scratches, the more the itch becomes a burning need to find out more. Let me try and explain a few things using a number of analogies, because conspiracy theories are more of a detraction from the bigger picture. And I'll explain what I mean. But first, let's start with an egg, a chicken egg. And I use this analogy to define or describe many of the people who use as their main source of news stations like CNN, the typically controlled mass media.
Right.
They're all nicely cocooned in their little egg. It's comfortable, it's warm. Now, what happens when a chicken hatches? As it starts growing, it eats the yolk for food and for nourishment. And as the yolk finishes, there is enough strength in the chick for it to then break out of that shell. Now, in the analogy of human nature, we're all in this little chicken egg. The yolk has run out, and yet using credit or artificially available money, we become complacent. So there's a constant supply of yolk, meaning we're comfortable, we're enjoying our life, it's nice and warm and cozy in here. There's no need for us to break out of that shell. I'm talking now about the average person who never looks into conspiracy theories in any manner.
Right.
So they remain in that egg until the day they die. They've never broken out. Their life has been comfortable, and they had no idea what's happening around them. However, conspiracy theorists or people who break out of that egg start realizing that there are things happening around them. What happens is they're in fact bringing themselves into the center of an onion. And there's many, many layers of in an onion. So they start scratching at each layer one at a time. And in fact, never break out of the onion completely because they get so involved in individual conspiracy events. Let's use 9/11 as an example. I'm sure you're aware that there are hundreds of 9/11 sites on the internet, all of them going into a great amount of detail about what happened. But the reality is that we will never know conclusively what happened on 9/11. What one needs to do is just accept it was an inside job, move on, and see how it fits in the bigger picture. By worrying about the individual details and trying to come up with absolutely conclusive proof is pretty much the same as being tied up sitting in front of a TV all night watching rubbish. Because you think you're doing the world a favor by trying to understand exactly what caused 9/11, but instead you're missing the bigger picture. And this is, at the moment, my strongest message whenever I get a chance to talk to people is, if you knew exactly who caused 9/11, or if you knew exactly what happened on that day, how would that change your life as an individual? Would it cause you to do anything different in your life as a result of knowing that information? And usually the answer is no, because they weren't involved personally. They may have known somebody who died on the day, but for most people, 9/11 didn't affect them personally. And if that's true, just accept that it happened and move on. Try and understand how 9/11 fits in the bigger picture. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I'm not stopping you. I mean, believe me. I mean, keep going where you're going. You'll know when I got a problem.
Well, the bigger picture for me then is that there is in fact a spiritual battle going on in a realm that is not visible to us, and what we're seeing happening on Earth now is simply a physical manifestation of that spiritual battle. So. People often say, well, what can we do to stop the New World Order? I don't believe there is much that we can do because it is a spiritual battle. And whatever you do here on Earth may influence minutely the minds of man. So, for example, let's say we could convince George Bush to stop his current invasion of Eastern countries. That would be stopping one man doing something. But because the battle starts in the spiritual realm, by convincing one individual on this earth doesn't stop the cause of all of the conflicts around us. So this is why I keep saying I don't believe that there is much that we can do, and I think you're in agreement with that as well, Keith. Is that correct?
Well, we did. I mean, all right. I'm going to tip my hand and tell you this. I had a discussion today with a woman on campus. I work for a Catholic university, as I think I told you. And I have discussions with many people. I'm dealing with the library most of specifically. But there is, you know, I mean, but people, you know, you talk and you hear things. And I got to tell you, though, also, Michael, one of the great blessings of my life by accident was that I would be in this library, which would receive countless donations from history professors who passed or just decided they wanted to, you know, partition their holdings to certain libraries. And in that, I saw so many books that were never promoted because, obviously, this is not what the handlers wanted to have happen. And detailed exactly what was going to happen and did happen. I'm being very general about this, okay? But let me be specific about one thing, and we'll move on. And that is this. Just one book in particular, okay? We got a book that was published by Devin Adair, a small publishing house that has disappeared from the face of the earth. It was a book called The Final Secret of Pearl Harbor. And it was by a rear admiral from World War II who was really ticked about what took place. And in his writings, you know, he stated that Roosevelt knew and there was no problem about that and that these characters knew that they, quote, appreciated there would be a certain loss of life. And I know you touched upon, you know, in this, in what you've written on your website, but the fact that this gentleman, Theobald, would do this. But you see, that book never sees the light of day. And that's never recorded in any of our history texts in the United States. And so this fact goes on, but it's shielded from the public who don't realize that whenever the United States or the bankers want to go to war for profit, they will find some kind of emotional event to trigger and send kids off, both male and female these days, to die for basically padding industrialists and bankers' coffers. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. There is another term used. It's called revisionist history.
Right.
And when you start, if you just do a search for that on, for example, Google, it is amazing to see how history that we've been told to learn from school or even through encyclopedias, etc., is completely different to what really happened. And one has to ask the question, if history can be changed, surely current reality can be changed too.
Sure.
And let's use the word propaganda. People get a bit uptight. No way. We're not living in an age of propaganda right now. That belongs to World War II. But what we're being fed right now is a bunch of lies about just about anything. We can talk about World War III in particular, but on a medical level, we're being fed a bunch of lies. On a religion level, we're being fed a bunch of lies. Just about everything that we believe and accept as 100% true right now is usually based on somebody else's opinion. And it's the somebody else that is a concern because they don't have our well-being at heart.
At heart, right.
So we believe passionately in something that could possibly not even be true. And that's a concern.
I want to tell people also, as we are 20 minutes after the hour, we're speaking with Michael Behop. His website, and I'm going to state the one that I'm most interested in, but I want you to go with what you have, and the one that drew me to him, and the one that listeners wanted me to talk to him about because of this website, is 3worldwars.com. Also, he's got other websites out there that are in development, I believe. I think I put three up. I might have been remiss. But Michael, you know, at this juncture also, I mean, we've got a lot to talk about, but tell us what you've got out there. I mean, you've got a real, you know, panoply of websites. Will you tell us what they are and what they are dedicated to?
Certainly. But before I get onto the specific sites, maybe a quick little story about how this all came together.
Absolutely.
Three World Wars has been running for about 3 years now, and that was my first dabble in getting some websites up. So it was put up in a bit of a hurry. And normally when a webmaster puts up a website, they put a lot of effort into it. They're very proud of that. And it's not often that you decide, well, let's pull the website down. You leave it running there. And I had a bit of a challenge about a year ago. Should I keep the site running or not? Because my views since then have changed fairly significantly. The site can currently be classified as a conspiracy site. And because of what we've spoken about earlier, I don't think it makes sense to spend too much time being concerned about conspiracy theories unless it specifically affects you. And Three World Wars perhaps doesn't quite touch on that. But to go back a bit in time, about a year ago, I left full-time employment. I was employed as an IT consultant for a U.S. company, traveled all over the world, and that certainly opened my eyes. But I left full-time employment in June last year and took the opportunity to go traveling through Thailand and Malaysia. While I was there enjoying the exquisite beauty of the islands, I experienced what can only be described as a number of very profound spiritual epiphanies. And things came together in my head in unbelievably magical ways. I wrote at that time a little book called How to Find the Purpose of Your Life. And really all I was trying to explain is that in our heads we have a giant jigsaw puzzle. But the jigsaw puzzle is stored as if it were in a cupboard somewhere. All the pieces are lying jumbled up in a box, and you can't really see the clear picture of what that jigsaw puzzle is trying to show you. Our minds automatically build that jigsaw puzzle if you allow it enough time. There's no effort involved. Your mind just does it, and the jigsaw pieces are individual events in your life, whether they be good or bad. Each event makes up one piece of this jigsaw puzzle, and they all happen for a reason. Now, if you remove yourself from your day-to-day, everything that takes up time in your life, so your salary job, your hobbies, your sports, TV, radio, magazines, remove yourself from all of those distractions, and your mind can automatically start building this jigsaw puzzle. Now, for many of us, the process does start. We go away for annual leave. It might be a week or 2 weeks. We remove ourselves from the distractions. Your mind starts building the jigsaw puzzle. But then, come the end of the vacation, it's time to go back to work again. You pack up the jigsaw into the box. All the pieces get jumbled up again. And you have to start from scratch. When those pieces all fit together, it is mm-hmm. profound. There are no words to describe how moving it is to realize that you have a purpose, that each of us are placed on this earth for a very specific reason, and each of the events leading up, each of the events in your life leading up to that point was there to prepare you for the purpose of your life. And this is how my subsequent website came along. It's called freedomtechnology.org.
Okay.
And really all we're trying to do on that site is very succinctly explain how many lies have been told to us. You may be familiar with the movie The Matrix, where in essence it's talking about two different realities,
mm-hmm.
inside the Matrix and outside the Matrix. Right now we are living in a Matrix mm-hmm. where reality as we see it is not the real, there is a different reality happening. We can touch on quantum physics. I don't know how technical you want to get here, but basically scientists are realizing that the tiny little bits and pieces that make up atoms are in fact mere suggestions of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And they only exist at the instant that somebody observes them. So when they're not being observed, where are they? They're in a different parallel universe. Scientists can't come up with an explanation for this. And quantum physics is an astounding subject to discuss.
Yes. Michael, let me hold you right.
Sure.
Oh no, let me hold you right there because I'm not so sure we don't want to go there, and that's fine with me. And well, I'll tell you what: quantum physics and the reality thereof, would you agree, makes possible the bending of time and time travel?
We could go one step further than that, and I believe that Jesus came to this earth to prove quantum physics. He came from another dimension, materialized into this dimension, and then went back to whichever dimension he came from. Well, the usual Christian message is that Jesus came to save people's sins, etc. I think the message is far more profound than that if you tie that event into quantum physics. And yes, the fifth dimension, or the quantum domain, is a domain where, let's talk firstly about this dimension, where there are four elements that limit existence. It's height, breadth, depth, and time.
Time, right.
The fifth dimension is one where you remove the limitation of
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So you, absolutely, I'm agreeing with you. You bend time, you more than likely will be able to travel backwards and forwards in time. Time just means nothing. So, yes. Now, the real exciting part of this is the Christian message, I believe, is talking at the kingdom of God is an analogy for quantum domain or the fifth dimension and something where time has no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that our time here on this earth is preparation for whatever happens in the next dimension. So much the same as a baby lies in a womb for 9 months, building strength and energy mm-hmm. so that it's ready to come out into the world. That is what our responsibility is on this earth. We're in the womb. We're being prepared for what we are going to do in the next dimension. And it's how much responsibility that one shows here that will determine what position you get in the next dimension. We've jumped into a lot of detail now and spoken fairly randomly across a number of different subjects, but it just shows that there are so many more exciting things to talk about than individual conspiracy theories, and I think you might feel the same on this.
I do. I mean, we exchange emails, and I mean, you know, and you probably think I have a certain edge, and I probably do, but let me stop you there, and that is also say, look, the things about quantum physics and the time that we have, if we do go the whole 2 hours, we'll have time to deal with that. And, I am very interested in that. But also, let me say this now at this time. Let's go back to the fact of what websites you have up there and what people can find if they go to each one in particular. So will you enumerate them for us right now?
The two main ones are Three World Wars and freedomtechnology.org. Three World Wars, well, firstly, let me say this. I believe that there is a continuum of life for each individual. And the two websites are designed for where you're at on that continuum of life. So Three World Wars, I believe, is useful for somebody who's just starting to realize that things are not as they seem. There's something fishy going on around us, and I want to get to the bottom of what mm-hmm. this is. And I believe Three World Wars is a good place to start because it looks at the bigger picture. It explains exactly what conspiratorial history is. It shows how history has been manipulated through the ages, and it then makes some extrapolations to say, based on what we've seen in the past, what can we expect in the near future?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Three World Wars is about. Once you've understood that concept, it's then time to move on and say, if all of that is true, what do I do? How should I lead my life right now? Because many of the events in history and some of the events happening right now don't necessarily affect me personally. But if what ThreeWorldWars.com is saying is true, then I need to live my life slightly differently to the masses, to those who don't understand that things are being manipulated. So what is it that I should do? The first thing is to try and understand how your mind has been enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, particularly those living in a democracy, many people in the U.S. believe that they are free. They have free choice, they can vote for whichever party they choose, but that is not true. Your mind unknowingly is enslaved, and all of the opinions that you hold, we're talking about the average person out there, those opinions have been molded. You believe that you formed the opinions on your own by carefully researching facts, but those facts, and I would say facts in inverted commas, have been carefully placed there by the same people who've engineered history.
Mm-hmm.
So Freedom Technology then is a site designed to identify what the major lies are, and in essence allow us to step outside of what we call an anti-civilization. And if you can imagine a huge spherical plastic ball rolling along a beach with everybody cajoling and enjoying themselves inside this plastic ball, it looks like fun and everybody is enjoying themselves. But once you're able to break outside of that bubble and look back into the bubble and see, watch the people who are supposedly enjoying themselves inside, you then realize that, wow, this is in fact so much more to enjoy, so much more to appreciate about life. The difficult thing about conspiracies is it tends to be a fairly negative subject. People get all concerned, well, you know, if the economy is going to crash, then what does that mean for me? And it can become a rather negative and depressing subject. But step outside of that bubble, and the opportunities are unbelievably exciting. I wake up in the morning just pinching myself saying, is this really true? Things around us look so terrible, and yet life is fantastic. And that's really what Freedom Technology is all about. How does one step outside, start seeing life for what it really is, and enjoying yourself? The way in which we do that is a 16-week, and it's totally free. There's no charge whatsoever. You register your name and email address, and you will receive a series of, we call them seminars, maybe that's a bit formal, basically a downloadable report is sent to you once a week over a period of 16 weeks. The reason we spread it out over 16 weeks is because we don't beat around the bush. We come up with some fairly strong statements, and the initial reaction is, no way, this cannot be true. So by spreading it out over a period of 16 weeks, we allow your mind to start accepting some new ideas, and it's presented in such a way that we don't force it onto you. The suggestion is, here are some new ideas, here are some places where you can go and read to back this up if you find it difficult to accept. But it's creating a new paradigm. A paradigm is a way of looking at the world. So we start off fairly slowly, explaining how the media has been manipulating recent history and current events. For many people, that's fairly obvious. But then we quickly move on into contentious topics like religion. We explain how religion has been warped by man, and the original message in each of the five major world religions right now is not the same as what the original teachings were, and we go into some detail to explain how that works. And basically breaking down all of the existing belief systems so that you can then start forming your own world view. You need to establish the groundwork, the foundation first, and then you can establish your own worldview. And we conclude the entire series with something that we call the 10-second miracle. In 10 seconds, it is possible to break out of that bubble that we spoke about earlier, but it takes some preparation. So 16 weeks of preparation concludes at the end with a 10-second miracle. In 10 seconds, you dump all of your previously held existing beliefs, and you start building your new paradigm. Feedback has been fantastic. It's not an easy concept to explain, because it doesn't fit in easily with anything that you're currently familiar with. But for those that nobody has yet finished the entire series, we only launched a few months ago, but the feedback has been unbelievable. Many of the testimonials I receive from people who read various, you know, the different topics in each week, they bring tears to my eyes. It's unbelievable how people are explaining that they've known all of this all along, but they weren't able to fit it into the bigger picture. And this is the most rewarding feedback that I get, that it is now making sense for people's lives. They can understand now where things have gone wrong, how things fit together in the bigger picture, and feedback has been very, very good. So for those who are a little bored now of all the various conspiracy theories, go ahead to freedomtechnology.org, enter your name and email address, and I think you'll enjoy the journey.
Michael, I got to tell you, I'm laughing somewhat because our stream is off the board. So I'm sure there's a lot of people outside the United States who can't call in on our 800 number who are listening. So they're probably just cringing, I mean, because it would be on their dime as it is on yours. And I want that to be known because it is on your dime, and I think that's pretty neat that you would that would call in and are willing to spend at least 2 hours on the phone line with us. And, I mean, again, like I told you, I mean, we not agree with the solutions, but that's okay. I mean, that's for those who are listening to decide. Like I said, the neat thing is that, as you well know, I'm not stomping on what you're saying. I'm going to let you have your say. And people will decide because they have brains. And that's really nice to know that they're going to think for themselves. And isn't that a great concept?
It's vital. I mean, to date, we've not been taught how to think. If you think back to your school days or university, not once were we ever taught how to think. We were taught to learn something parrot fashion. And occasionally we had to do a little bit of interpretation and write our understanding of things. But invariably, the way the media treats us, things presented on the news or any actuality program, it's never designed to allow you to come up with your own conclusions. Conclusions are pre-designed for us.
That's
and
right.
Implanted in our minds. And generally, for many of us, being able to think is a new experience. And this is one of the things we wanted to do with Freedom Technology. Who knows whether the information there is right or not?
Mm-hmm.
It may be completely wrong, but we leave it up to you to try and establish whether that is the case.
Michael, once again, before I cut you loose, I want to tell everybody we're talking to Michael B. Hopp. He was a guest of Jest and a very interesting individual. And I'm going to say this on air because I'm going to force him into the situation, and that is to talk about some of the history that he's recorded, which I find very accurate and very intensive. But Michael, top down, with the website you got, give us the URLs. Extant. Go ahead.
The first is www.3worldwars.com, and that's the one that explains conspiratorial history. It looks at the real causes behind World War I, World War II, and it tries to explain the lead-up to World War III, which is certainly a planned war. It's not happening by accident. It's by design, and I try and explain all of that at the site. Then, once you're tired of conspiracy theories and want to understand how you should lead a fulfilling life, go to www.freedomtechnology.org. That's .org.
Mm-hmm.
3worldwars.com and freedomtechnology.org.
And you may not want to promote this. I don't know how evanescent that website is, but you also have one like michaelhopp.com, or is what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I have a personal website, but that's just for me to try and keep track of what's happening in my life. I mean, people are free to go and have a look at that, but there's not much of value there. Another interesting site is Poyl.com, P-O-Y-L.com. Poyl stands for Purpose of Your Life.
Okay.
And that's a little booklet that I wrote while I was in Thailand, right in the middle of all of the epiphanies that I was having. So some of it doesn't make sense, and my views have changed a little since then, but many people have told me that it's a useful guide for trying to understand why are we here? What is the purpose of our life? And it's a fun little process that you can go through. It does take some time. I suggest that anything less than 6 weeks probably doesn't work. But if you're serious about finding out why it is you're on this earth, it is a profound exercise to try and play around with. So that's poyle.com.
All right. And I want to also let people know that you can call in, once again, the 800 numbers, all 491 prefixes, and you can call in on 9126, 9135, and 9146 to ask a question or make a comment to Michael or myself or whatever. But here we are, and hopefully for 2 hours. He's been good enough, and I have to tell you this, Michael, the colon in your dime. I mean, this is a shoestring budget here over here in Florida. And I'm sure some of the people who are listening, you know, would love to call in and talk, but we, you know, obviously we're not, you know, outfitted to take those calls. So we'll try to do the best we can in their stead. But I have to, but if we can go back, if you don't mind, because, you know, history to me, I love it. I mean, it just, I mean, to me, that's life. I mean, there's nothing else except history. And you've done an extensive amount of work. And as I said, what I would like to do is take a look back and get your take on the roots of what has gone on. We've had other people come on. I mean, I've, you know, expatiated to whatever degree on the causes of war. But on your website, and I mean, you know, I mean, if you did that stuff, if that's you, you did a lot of research. And you said, I think, that, you know, WorldWar3.com has been up for, what did you say, 2 or 3 years?
It's been up for about 3 years, just over 3 years. And the preparation for that site was easily 20 years worth of reading. So it's not something that just sprang up overnight.
You're not kidding, yeah.
I didn't set out intending to start a website. It was just a process that I accidentally started by asking questions. Initially, the questions came about through a church that I was attending. I saw a lot of hypocrisy among Christians. So I originally started questioning religion, trying to understand why people said something on a Sunday while they were in church and then did something completely different during the week. And that led on then to conspiracy theories. And I remember at one stage somebody in the church said to me, stop worrying about all of these things. It doesn't matter. We're here to live our life, to live it to the glory of God. And that often didn't quite gel with me. It didn't make sense that we're just meant to live to the glory of God. Surely, part of glorifying God is understanding what's happening around us. If we just live in a little bubble, in a protected cocoon, and never try and understand, make head or tail of what's happening around us, that's not glorifying God. You're belittling yourself. So the process of getting two, three world wars up on the internet took many years, reading hundreds, if not thousands of books. And the real difficulty is trying to sift fiction from non-fiction.
Right.
You know, books nowadays classify themselves as fiction or non-fiction, but many non-fiction books have complete garbage in them. And because it's presented in a believable manner, it's often very difficult to understand what is truth and what's not. In fact, is there such a thing as truth? It's somebody's interpretation of it. So eventually I got to the point where I would question everything, no matter how forcibly somebody was trying to put a point across. Take a step back and question it and try and understand, based on what I've seen elsewhere, does this make sense? So it's always a case of building a pyramid of understanding, I guess.
Each
new piece of information that you come across is one more block in a much bigger jigsaw puzzle.
Michael, don't use the word pyramid. And you know why. Nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
No, but all right, let me ask you this, too, because that's interesting. Because, I mean, Lady Viz and I sit here, and we watch the news knowing what we know. And I'm sure, you know, where you are in South Africa or wherever you should have been or are to be, but you sit and watch news, and you're sitting there going, no, no. You know, come on, give me a break. So, I mean, with what you do know, and I'm likening to us with understanding that, we, you know, we think outside the box because we've read stuff that's not promoted, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I mean, do you sit and watch the news and filter it through, like, guys, this is not really the case? Tell me.
It is a very difficult exercise to be able to do effectively, watching the news with filters on. To be honest, I very seldom watch the news anymore. I will occasionally flick on CNN if there's a major disaster happening, just so that I can understand be aware of what's going on.
And but the facts,
I will,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I watch more than an hour of television a week, it's a lot. And it's refreshing to not read the news. There's no question about that. I never read newspapers, and it's often very refreshing to not know what's going on in the world. But the word filters that you used is very interesting, because if one is able to look at what is being reported to us in the here and now and filter it through the concept of conspiratorial history, all of a sudden news makes a whole lot more sense than what it does right now. The way news is reported now is random, unconnected events of things happening all over the world. But once you can see the pattern, once you understand the unfolding plan leading us to World War III, all of a sudden individual events in the news start making sense. But it's not something that you can't switch on the filter overnight. It does take some time in learning to interpret news differently, and I'm sure you've understood that. You probably have friends that refuse to accept that there is such a thing as conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to try and convince somebody like that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people like that in the world. Now, here's another thought. That is a biblical concept. Jesus said, let him who has ears hear. And understanding is only given to some people. Now, we may say that's unfair, and does that mean we have free choice? There's a whole other discussion that we can get into here. But we shouldn't get upset if somebody refuses to understand what's going on. It is purely our task to plant the seed and leave it at that. I see so many people getting really uptight because somebody won't see their point of view. They won't believe that there is such a thing as conspiratorial history. It's not up to us to convince people. It is up to us to at least plant the seed and suggest some avenues of further research if somebody is interested, but then leave it at that. It's not worth getting upset if somebody won't see your point of view.
But, you know, let me say this, and you chime in as you wish. Given what I heard, I still wasn't convinced. And when the movie The Matrix came out, I said, you know, I really didn't care much for the movie. But the concept about the fact that are we in a reality that really isn't a reality never really left me. And Michael, I had to do a project, and I did it on science fiction books, and Bradbury and Burgess and Huxley, and I couldn't really understand why they always depicted this kind of dark future for us. And that really, really prompted me to take a look and say, you know, is this really science fiction, or is this a glimpse into the shape of things to come? And of course, I'm obviously conjuring the title from H.G. Wells. And then I said, you know what? We've been fooled. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely agree. And if we mention The Matrix again, the original Matrix, not any of the subsequent ones, but the original Matrix
has
a profound message in it. And I mean, I've watched that movie four or five times now. Every time I watch it, there's a different message in there. And the two Wachowski brothers who directed the movie, I'm convinced, were trying to get a message through to us. And I suspect that the message was so effective that Matrix 2 and 3 were then changed so that the message was no longer reiterated. That's what I believe. I have no proof for that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe so strongly in this that, yes, there are parallel realities. There is a world outside of what we're familiar with that is so completely different. And the challenge here on Earth is to break out of the reality that we're in right now, break out of the Matrix. And it is possible to do that. I'd encourage anybody who hasn't seen The Matrix, go and have a look and listen particularly, or rather draw your own conclusions about what The Matrix is referring to. In my mind, it is referring to the reality that we're in right now, which is created, it's manipulated, it's not true reality. A profound movie. It's very, very good.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I mean, the movie itself didn't really, you know, do much for me. I really didn't care. And I wasn't thinking the way I was thinking now, as I might have said. But the thing was, it put in my brain the seed of, what if all you saw was not the true thing? And I'm like, well, look, that can't be. And that's that's everybody's reaction to that. But I said, look, here's the one thing I want more than anything else. Before I die, tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. I don't care what it is. Don't lie to me. And I went down the rabbit hole, And Michael, as I'm sure you did also, I went, okay, so this is the way it is. And this is why we're doing this radio show. And this is why you're on, you know, my end of things in the small world, you know, small part of the world that is Pasco County, Florida. And that's the best I can do to make people realize that, yeah, guess what? You've been kind of hoodwinked, and it's bigger than you think. And let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask you to at least respond specifically to this, and we're going to go back into other things. And that is, when they say to me, well, how can that possibly be? I'm saying, well, first of all, conspiracies are true. They're not theories. Conspiracies are real. There are theories, there are facts. But conspiracies are just mean that things are done in secret. Agreed?
Correct.
Okay. And I'm just saying to them is this. Those who would wish to enslave you don't want you really to know about it. Therefore, what would be one of their first moves? To tie up all media, whether in the old days it was newspapers, and then radio, and then TV, so that you would not know the truth. We're not saying that Matt Lauer and any of the talking heads on our stations know what's going on. But the point is that the people who run those networks do know what's going on. And they don't want you to know what's taking place. And you can always sit inside your little cylindrical, you know, panopticon or whatever, and never realize what's going on. So would you agree that the handlers have tied up that which would possibly be exposing to them?
I fully agree with that. And the question I normally ask somebody who's struggling to accept that maybe there is something going on that's not being told to us is, in the current technological age that we're living in, with all of the developments and advancements that have happened in science and new inventions, I mean, many, many exciting things are happening. Now, compare that to what is reported on the day-to-day news. It's usually about individual, particularly local news stations. The kind of things that they report on are pathetic. And my question to them is the media then an accurate reflection of what's happening around us, of all the advancements that we're seeing? Why on earth are they wasting time telling me about some person who was knocked over in the street yesterday on my local radio station, when there is so much more that I want to understand? And usually, you know, if you start, I think you can see where I'm going, if you embellish that conversation, eventually people do realize that, yes, it's controlled. They're feeding us useless pieces of information that don't enrich our lives at all. And if that's true, extrapolate and say, well, how many more things are they hiding from us? And the sad thing is we're using that as our only source of reliable information. Of course, your opinions are then going to be based on an opinion that somebody wants to create in your mind. So that's the kind of tack I take in a conversation, and I think you'll see people eventually start agreeing with you. Okay, maybe what I'm seeing on the news is not the whole picture.
Well, you know, are you familiar with the tale of Plato's The Cave?
No, I'm not.
All right, well, this is not a big deal, but, you know, real quick. There were people who were chained and allowed to look at a cave wall, and what happened was the light from the hole behind them cast shadows that they saw, so they saw the shadows of things that are okay, and then and then they were freed to come out into the light and look at what really was, and they were like, I'm not really too good with this, you know what I mean? And
wow.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, and that's what we're seeing now. And people, you know, I tell you what, I had, like I said, Michael, I had a conversation today, probably over 2 days. It doesn't happen that much. But you know what? The individual said, you know, I think something is a little bit rotten. And I'm like, well, you're right. And I mean, you can tell them only so much, and then they get overloaded, and you sound like some character out of the Oliver Stone movie. You know what I mean? Like Joe Pesci. It's like you sound like a maniac. And it's like, no. And I just said, listen, you heard what I said. It won't leave you. You can't unhear it. When you watch the news, just check it out. The individual has a 5-year-old daughter, and it's like, it's not for you, it's for her. And the individual understood. And so, you know, Michael, what I'm saying is that, yes, there is a matrix. You know, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was kidding around when I first probed it, and I said, you know what, it's true. The history that surrounds us. And I will tell you this, Michael, Harry Truman has a great quote, and I stated it you know, succinctly once before, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And he said, the only secrets there are the history you don't know about.
Yes.
Now, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Adolf Hitler, since we're talking about quotes, says that the size of the lie is a definite factor in causing it to be believed, because the vast masses of nations are in the depths of their hearts more easily deceived than they are consciously and intentionally bad. The primitive simplicity of their minds renders them a more easy prey to a big lie than a small one, for they themselves often tell little lies but would be ashamed to tell a big one. So yes, I agree, and your Truman quote is absolutely true. It's the pieces that we don't know are the most damaging.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe we can get this in the second hour, and I'm laughing because, I mean, that quote you didn't memorize, did you?
From Hitler. I beg your pardon?
That quote you just read, you didn't memorize, did you? Or did you?
No, I read it out.
Okay, because that was pretty good. No, I mean, that was excellent. It was right on the head. And maybe in the second hour, if you don't mind going into it, I mean, there's a brotherhood there that may transcend what we think are all the fightings, you know, in the wars and all that other stuff. I think you know where I'm going with that, and I've yet to unleash what I think is the unseen powers that you've not spoken about. But be that as it may, as we come up hard against the hour, and can I believe that you'll be with us for the second?
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. I mean, you know, the big people in this country are going to sleep, but you never know who's around there. But unfortunately, like I said, you know, I can't avail you of an 800 number that will take an international call. So I thank you very much, Michael, for coming on and being actually generous in your behalf. I mean, even though you want to, you know, sell stuff and you know, and tell people to be in your, or direct people to your venue, still and all, that was pretty neat for you to come on, and I really, really do appreciate it, and I hope... at least as this first hour draws to a close, that you're not sorry that you came on. And what are we looking at? Let's see. What were we talking about? 7 o'clock in the morning in your time?
That's correct. Coming up to 7 o'clock.
You got your tea in front of you?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have your tea in front of you?
Oh, yes. I got a cup of coffee and some hot water.
Tell me one thing, and I'm making a little conversation here. I had a brother who listened to the show and moved from South Africa to, British Columbia. What is the red tea that is so famous to South Africa? It starts with an R.
Yeah, it's a tea that is only grown here. I'm not sure why it doesn't grow anywhere else in the world, but it supposedly has very strong antioxidant qualities, a very healthy tea.
Yes.
It's called red bush tea, a very tasty tea, yeah.
Is it Rooibos?
Rooibos. Not many people know about it, so I'm impressed that you do.
I'll tell you what. Well, I am so fortunate that people who listen do care very much, and those, however many or few, but we also deal on this show, Michael, with alternative and homeopathic remedies, because we know that the pharmaceuticals want to kill us. he was good enough when he was down in there in that time to send that tea forward. And so, in fact, you do avail yourself of that?
Oh, absolutely. I probably drink 6 or 8 cups of that a day. It's naturally caffeine and tannin-free, so it's a very healthy tea, yeah.
All right, and I'm going to just... rag a little time until the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break, if that's okay with you.
Great.
Let me ask you, though, you know, just for the sake of conversation, people forget, they think of Africa and they think it's sweltering hot, but you're down the southern end. Can you tell us what the weather is like right now? I mean, are you in your, I guess, spring? Is that right?
The weather right now is coming into summer, so we're the reverse of your seasons, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So fairly cool, because it is quite far south, but summers here get very, very hot, probably around 75 degrees on an average day during summer. But beautiful Cape Town itself, which is where I'm calling from, is the southernmost tip of Africa. You may have heard of Table Mountain, a very beautiful mm-hmm. setting that overlooks the sea. We don't get snow down here, but winters can get fairly cold. It gets below freezing point. But otherwise, it's pretty good weather.
I'm just curious, too. Have you ever read Doris Lessing's What the Grass is Singing? Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
Well, the only reason I'm bringing it up is that a British literature teacher I had in my second go-around when I got my second degree, professor, had us read that. And, boy, it was really interesting. It was a metaphor, obviously, for the changeover in the governments down in South Africa. And also the fading, supposedly, British Empire and the changing of the guard. It also seasonally gave us a accurate depiction of what weather was like. Because if you talk about Africa, everybody's saying it's sweltering. But when you're down on your end of the continent, it's a lot like it is at the northern end of other continents, is it not?
That's correct, yeah. But it's a fairly large country, and it varies from place to place. So, yeah, I mean, you get very hot parts in Africa, absolutely. The vast majority of central part of Africa is desert, and obviously it does get sweltering there, yeah.
Are you originally, though, a British subject that went down there, or?
I was born in South Africa, but left the country 10 years ago and spent most of my time in England, which is where the site Three World Wars was set up. Which
was born,
why
it
has a British address there. But I came back to South Africa in December after being away for 10 years. So I've lived in 11 different countries all over the world. So I have a fairly international mindset. I spent a year in the States. I lived in D.C. and Phoenix, two very interesting cities. I enjoyed my time there immensely.
To say the least, and listen, if you don't mind, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about much more. Are you going to stay with us, Michael?
Yep, absolutely. Talk to you in a bit.
All right, God bless you.
All right.